Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, this is like advice, Lee, that you would get from the State Department for going, you know, like if you're going to a third world country.
Okay.
And you want to survive, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's always a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, survival. But it's not a third world country. It's Minneapolis. The police actually put this out on Twitter. This is advice they're giving you to survive the current, you know, violence and anarchy, which is very hip. It's very hot until the guy is in your face with the gun. Then it's not so cool. This is the actual advice for dealing with the spiraling out of control crime right now in Minneapolis, where police are not allowed to do their jobs, and some have taken to armed patrols of their own neighborhoods. Been over 100 robberies and 20 carjackings in July alone, over a 50% increase in violent crime over this time last year. So that's a success. It's good. That shows that the police really aren't out there, and that's what they want, right?
Well, it's what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, those are signs of success. It's great. It's fabulous. It's signs they are keeping, that the Minneapolis City Council is keeping its promise not to police Minneapolis. So what's it look like when this happens in your city? Well, this is from Minneapolis City Government on how not to get killed in Minneapolis. Chris Rock ought to do a video on this. I could actually see him voicing it right now. Listen to this. Be prepared to give up your cell phone and purse/wallet. I'm not joking. They're actually advising surrender your property to the criminals, Lee, and obey them.
Okay.
They say do not, this is the exact words, do not argue or fight with the criminal. Do as they say. Your safety is most important. And again, what precipitated this, and it says it right on the document that came out from city government, this is because of the 100 robberies and 20 carjackings. Just in the third precinct. It's not just the whole city. Just in the third precinct in July alone. Again, that's a 50% increase over this month from last year. So you got that. So if you go into Minneapolis, I would advise against that. But if you must go, know that the advice from City Hall, from the police, be prepared to give up your cell phone and purse or wallet. Do not argue or fight with the criminal. They are always right. Do as they say. Your safety is most important.
This is where we are in America now, or at least in Minneapolis.
Yeah. By the way, you would think the tax bill had gone down.
Yeah, you would think.
You would think. I mean, if we're not going to... Police is usually the number one major expense anyway of city government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually the biggest expense of city government. And no, tax bills haven't gone down at all. So I'm not sure what they're paying for exactly.
Probably a lot of reconstruction.
Have you seen the pictures of Minneapolis? The American people should see the pictures. It is unbelievable. There are folks who are there who've put them up on Twitter. It goes for 30 blocks, the destruction. And I don't mean like just graffiti. I mean storefronts just destroyed.
I was going to say it probably looks like downtown Beirut, but I think that the current audience probably is not as old as I am, and they won't remember what Beirut looked like. So we'll say a Aleppo in Syria. That's right. A more relevant and more timely reference. Yeah.
And you know what? You're not exaggerating. Actually, the word Beirut was what was used in one of the Twitter feeds. Yeah.
Those of us of a certain age remember.
Yeah.
When Beirut was a wonderful, pristine city, and then, of course, all the civil strife that went on there and the civil war and the, you know, anyway. I digress.
Yeah, really. Meanwhile, over the weekend, Carmen Best, who's black, she's the police chief of Seattle. This is from Fox News. The mob came for her this weekend outside her home. You know who stopped them? They were driving in cars because she just lives in a residential neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Her neighbors. They blocked the road with their own cars. Once the mob started showing up, there was just like a whole caravan of them pulling up and screaming and yelling, threatening the killer, calling a pig, her a pig, saying pigs live here. She's black.
She's a black woman who
she's
is in a position of leadership.
I know.
She has attained a position of leadership in this country that these very people are saying is racist. A black woman, a police chief, and she is being attacked by Black Lives Matter activists.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second, folks. And her neighbors are the ones that have to defend the police chief.
Now, fortunately, she was not home, but they finally had to take a pickup and put it across the road. And the neighbors were, you should see the photos. The neighbors are standing out there. They're armed on either side of the pickup.
Oh, not a pickup. Why couldn't it have been a Prius or something? You know, come on, not a pickup
truck.
Well,
you can't cover the whole road with a Prius.
Yeah, take three
Lee.
Or four of them to do
exactly.
The footprint of a good Chevy or Ford pickup. Yeah, exactly.
Here's the Fox coverage of this.
Overnight, Seattle's police chief sends a letter to the city council urging them to stand up for what is right after nearly 200 protesters targeted her house over the weekend.
When the group of people showed up to my house, it certainly felt very personal about me. It really does seem like a mob mentality and bullying to intimidate a public official.
It doesn't seem like, madam, it is. I mean, I know you're trying to be nice here, but it is. That is where we are. That's what's going on in your city.
Yeah. And I just want to contrast this, Lee, and give you this opportunity, because I know you always make this point. When you contrast that to the protest this weekend, the group that went to the cemetery, put flyers out. I received one last week. They were promising to rip that Confederate statue down rather than go through the peaceful democratic process of having it taken down or making the argument it should be taken down. That's
exactly
what we should do as
right,
a country.
Exactly.
We should debate these things peacefully. But they had gone down there to rip it down. And just to me was really just such an iconic picture from this weekend of the Greenville police officers forming a human wall, like human shields, around the statue to protect it. We had Confederate flag bearing protesters come out, and they were in some, you know, pretty heated arguments and debates, but no violence broke out. I mean, that is the difference between here and a Minneapolis or a Chicago or an LA or a Portland. We're still civilized here. Statue didn't come down. Nobody ended up bleeding. 5 arrests. A debate was had. People weren't happy, but a debate was had and everything was peaceful. Nothing burned.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can still have a debate, even a raucous one. Those are fun. You know what I mean? Like, and nobody gets hurt in America. And you know what the difference is between here and there? What I just described with Carmen Best, black police chief, menaced in her own neighborhood and protected by her neighbors. The difference is we just don't tolerate this here.
Yeah.
There is not the public tolerance for violence if you don't get your way.
I hope this doesn't change.
No, God, me too.
I understand that there are people who want change, but that's a change I never want to see, where we cannot have some kind of discussion in a civil way of dealing with things. And this state has gone through a lot of difficult stuff over the course of history here.
Yeah.
And, you know, but in our recent history here with race-related things has been, for the most part, peaceful. It hasn't always been pretty. It hasn't always been genteel, but it has been peaceful. And there has been a general lack of bloodshed that you have seen in other large metropolitan areas.
And all that takes is a peaceful show of force by the police and by our leaders saying, no. And this was what it was a test run. That's why they announced they were going to take the statue down themselves, these protesters. They've wanted the statue down for about 2 years. There's a process for that. It's a very lengthy one. It's not easy. They wanted it down or moved. And our leaders said no.
Well, and it's not just the leaders.
And it was peaceful.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. It's not just the leaders, though, but it is also the people.
Yeah.
The people from whichever side of this that they're on made the choice not to make to devolve into violence. On both sides or all sides, I guess you should say, of this issue, the decision was made by these individuals at the time not to get into a violent act. And, you know, I know I'm, you know, sounding kind of squishy here, but honestly, I think that's a part of it. It's not just leaders, and I agree with you for sure. I mean, it's certainly the show of law enforcement. It's the show of government leaders, but it's also the people on every side of this issue have made a decision not to devolve into violence.
I'm not going to give them that much credit. I don't know that it would have been violence, but they, I mean, I have the flyer. They were going to tear it down. They said that on the flyer. So, I mean, I think what it was they wanted to see, I think this was a test, they wanted to see what kind of opposition they would face. And this is the difference in the cities. The other cities, these statues don't come down because the protesters had more force than the police. They come down because the police are held back. And the community is denied a debate over these statues. We deserve to have a debate. There's a process for taking them down. I mean, the side that tells us we're a democracy all the time is the same side that wants to ignore the public, you know, the political process, declare themselves moral authorities and tear down what they don't want. That's just not how it works. So I think they were testing the defenses. They were poking and prodding to see what would be allowed. And they learned peacefully that it wasn't allowed and it's over. You do that, they're not going to try to rip it down next weekend. It's no point. They're not going to be back with, you know, chainsaws and wrecking balls and Molotov cocktails. You just have to show them we're not going to tolerate this. But if you would like to take the statue down, fine. Go through the process. Let's have the debate.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, you got to hear this. Anthony Fauci, you know, Dr. Fauci, an expert on everything, the only doctor in America we can listen to. Can't listen to anyone from Oxford or Stanford or Harvard, Yale. Can't listen to them. They don't know anything. Only Dr. Fauci can be listened to, no matter that he has taken both positions on virtually every issue, from whether you should wear masks. Don't wear them, he said on March 8th. Nope, they're not good. Oh, wait, yes, do wear them. Oh, and in fact, you need a face shield, too. He has three times said we should shut down the economy, said we should open it, said we should shut it down again. Now he's back to it needs to stay open, but just wait 2 weeks. He'll reverse himself again. He's a petty dictator. He has said specifically that restaurants should be shut down, bars should be shut down, baseball should be shut down, football should be shut down. He's also said Trump rallies are a danger and should be shut down. The only thing he doesn't seem to want to shut down are violent protests, which is exactly where Representative Jim Jordan went on Friday. It's today's first epic rant. Keep in mind as you listen to this, that in June, Fauci railed against Trump's rally that he was going to have. It was just too dangerous to be attended. We'll get into that a little more in a minute. But first, I want you to hear when it's left-wingers who want to protest. Fauci just can't figure it out.
Dr. Fauci, do protests increase the spread of the virus?
Do protests increase the spread of the virus? I think I can make a general statement.
Well, 500,000 protesters on June 6th alone. Yeah. I'm just asking, that number of people, does it increase the spread of the virus?
Crowding together, particularly when you're not wearing a mask, contributes to the spread of the virus.
Should we limit the protesting?
I'm not sure what you mean. How do we say limit the protesting?
Should government limit the protesting?
I don't think that's relevant to...
Well, you just said if it increases the spread of the virus, I'm just asking, should we limit it?
Well, I'm not in a position to determine what the government can do in a forceful way.
Well, you make all kinds of recommendations. You make comments on dating, on baseball, on everything you can imagine. I'm just asking, you just said that protests increase the spread. No. I'm just asking, should we try to limit the protests?
No, I think I would leave that to people who have more of a position to do that.
Back in mid-June, this is from the Huffington Post, when asked if Trump should hold a rally. What were his words? Three of them. Of course not. That's weird. Didn't he just say he's not in a specific position to make a decision and blah, blah, and blah, blah, blah? Decision specific, not above my pay grade. Boy, it doesn't seem to be above his pay grade when it's a Trump rally we shouldn't be having. Jordan continued.
It's a simple question, doctor. Should we limit the protests? Government is obviously limiting people going to church. And look, there's been no violence that I can see at church. I haven't seen people during a church service go out and harm police officers or burn buildings. But we know that. I mean, for 63 days, 9 weeks, it's been happening in Portland.
Right. Yeah.
Well, one night in Chicago, 49 officers were injured. But no limit to protests. But boy, you can't go to church on Sunday.
What was the, I don't know how many times I can answer that. I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. I'm just going to tell you.
You've opined on a lot of things, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, but I've never
said this is something that directly impacts the spread of the virus, and I'm asking your position on the protest.
Yeah, I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. I'm telling you what it is, the danger.
What a hypocrite. I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. Baseball, football, bars, restaurants, retail operations, they closed. Thousands of businesses destroyed. Financial lives destroyed on the word of one man. We have finally found something he doesn't want to shut down, folks. Left-wing lunatic protesters. What a hypocrite. You know what this proves? He's a fraud. He's a political actor. This is not about the virus. It's not about the virus. This is about extracting the maximum financial and economic damage. Listen, Jordan doesn't give up. He keeps going.
And you can make your own conclusion about that. You should stay away from crowds, no matter where the crowds
are. Government has stopped people from going to work. In fact, just in New Jersey 4 days ago, Ian Smith, Frank Trombetta were arrested for opening up, for trying to operate their business, their gym. They were arrested. But my bet is, if these two individuals own this gym, were outside just in front of their gym, and all the people who were working out in their gym were outside protesting, they'd been just fine. But because they were in the gym working out, actually running their business, they got arrested. You think that's okay?
You know, I'm not going to opine on who gets arrested and who does not. I mean, you get where I'm going. I'm telling you, as a public health official, I say crowds.
Do you see the inconsistency, though, Dr. Fauci?
There's no inconsistency, Congressman.
So you're allowed to protest millions of people on one day in crowds yelling, screaming, but you try to run your business, you get arrested? And if you stood right outside of that same business and protested, you wouldn't get arrested? You don't see an inconsistency there?
I don't understand what you're asking me as a public health official to opine on who should get arrested or not. That's not my position. You could ask
You've advocated for certain businesses to be shut down. I'm just asking you on your position on the protest. I haven't seen one. We've heard a lot about hair salons. I haven't seen one hairstylist who, between haircuts, goes out and attacks police or sets something on fire. But we've seen all kinds of that stuff during protests. And we know the protests actually increased the spread of the virus. You've said that.
I said crowds. I didn't say specifically. I didn't say protest.
Oh, my gosh.
So the protests don't increase the spread of the virus?
I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth.
No, I just want an answer to the question. Do the protests increase the spread of the virus?
I don't have any scientific evidence that anything.
Yes! He finally said it! Did you hear it? I don't have any scientific evidence on anything. I don't have any scientific evidence on anything. By the way, he recommended gyms be closed too, just for the record. And advised against the Trump rally, but he can't figure it out when it comes to violent protests. He just can't figure it out. He has no science. What a flake. So the deal is, if you listen to the mainstream media, that we have to have Joe Biden at this time to heal the nation torn by racial strife and just the, you know, the systemic racism that we all know is there. Incredibly, And I think there was a reason that Obama did this. So Obama at the Lewis funeral was talking about Trump and comparing Trump to George Wallace. I'm going to play this, and then what I'm about to tell you is going to blow your mind. More Joe Biden racial stuff has sifted to the top. All of which, any of the things Joe Biden said, he was an avowed segregationist. He's on the record again and again and again and again in the 70s, arguing for the separation, government-mandated separation of the races. There's no other way to put it. You can't put it gently. You don't have to twist his comments. It's in your face. We've read them to you, including the most devastating one from NBC News. There's new ones out now, but I want to play this. There's a reason I think Obama is doing this, comparing Trump to George Wallace, who, of course, was a dyed-in-the-wool segregationist, did not want black children in schools where white children were. I think it's because he and they are well aware of Joe's history, and this is an inoculation against it. Take a listen.
But today, we witness with our own eyes police officers kneeling on the necks of black Americans. George Wallace may be gone, but we can witness our federal government sending agents to use tear gas and batons against peaceful demonstrators.
Rolling Stone, folks, not exactly a conservative publication, not by a long stretch. Headline, Rolling Stone. This is the headline. Joe Biden in 1987, quote, we, talking about Delawareans, people from Delaware like him, we were on the South Side in the Civil War. He was proud of that. Can you imagine if there were even just one clip? By the way, if you want to read it for yourself, I know I say these things and a lot of my trolls are like, that must be fake. No, I've got it up on my Facebook page. I'll probably get another misinformation, docked against me, but it's very real. It's the Rolling Stone. You want to see it for yourself? I put it up. On Thursday, Rolling Stone writes, another decades-old quote of Biden surfaced, courtesy of the Trump campaign's opposition research team. Hear anything about this? I think this would be big news, right? We're the nation torn by racial strife. We are a nation that has a real race, racism problem. Are we not told that constantly, day in and day out? I mean, I think this would be big news. But it wasn't. And since Obama brought it up, I mean, the George Wallace thing, it is worth noting that the only person in modern American politics, I mean, who's, still alive, as we've pointed out many times, has repeatedly praised Wallace and other segregationists. He's the only one currently in politics. That's in part because he's the only one still alive. It was Biden who bragged in 1973 that Wallace considered him, quote, one of the outstanding young American politicians. By the way, this is from Red State. The links to this are all throughout the article, so you can follow all of them. And I put it up on Parler because I think Facebook would probably mark it fake. The more real it is with Biden, the more I get marked fake. I can't wait to see what Facebook does with this Rolling Stone article on my page. I can't wait. It literally is the Rolling Stone. It's right under their masthead. They keep marking stuff I post fake. What I'm trying to do is to see if I can get them to mark the mainstream media left-wing sources as fake, because they just don't like what they're saying in this particular instance. Anyway, so I had to put that up on my Parler account, at Tara Servatius. It was Biden who bragged in 1973 that George Wallace, considered him one of the outstanding young politicians of America. It was Biden who wrote in 1975 that, quote, the Democrat Party could stand a liberal George Wallace, unquote. Golly, can you imagine if Trump had written something like this? Where are these left-wing race warriors? Want to go burn down the Biden headquarters? There's a segregationist for you. Y'all want to go to, this is what kills me. Y'all want to go downtown and rip down a 100-year-old statue of somebody from the Confederacy. Fine, if you don't like it, you go ahead, go through the process and get it taken down. Have the debate. You want to rip down a 100-year-old statue, but you got a living segregationist who said the Democrat Party could stand a liberal George Wallace, who bragged that Wallace considered him one of the most outstanding young politicians in America, and who said, we were on the South Side in the Civil War, and you don't want to go to his campaign headquarters? He's still alive. Confederate soldiers are dead. They're gone. You want to take down statues and ignore this guy? You're a bunch of hypocrites. Every last one of you who was protesting. You want me to take you seriously on race? Go to Biden's headquarters. Hold him responsible. Not going to hold my breath. You know why? Because everybody here knows this isn't about race. Not about race. It's about power for the left. Using race to get it and ignoring the biggest racist in the room, Joe Biden. That's not my opinion. That's the Rolling Stone, folks. How crazy is it getting out there with the masks? Holy cow. Okay, so you got the CEO of McDonald's saying if you come into McDonald's without a mask on, you won't put one on, we're going to call the cops on you. And now this, did you see this? Delta pilots turned the plane around when two passengers refused to wear masks. This was Detroit. Delta Airlines flight last week, it broke over the weekend, returned to the gate at Detroit Metro Airport when two passengers wouldn't put on a face covering. They were asked to put the mask on, but reportedly refused to do it. According to CNN, the company in a statement said they were non-compliant with crew instructions. Which makes me wonder, folks, did you see what came out over the weekend? Greenville County Schools. Face masks will be required in school buildings in South Carolina. That's the South Carolina Department of Education dictate. So if you're inside a school building, you got to wear a mask. Wait, this means the kids are going to have to sit, should they ever return to school full time, or even one day a week, with the whole day with a mask on? Wow. Ryan Brown, a spokesperson for the state education department, said parents who don't want their children to wear masks can choose to enroll students in virtual programs. Yeah, Ryan, here's a problem. The deadline was July 27th. So parents didn't know their kids would have to wear a mask all day long. Now, here's the thing. If you want to apply to send your kid virtually, which means they just stay home, they do all their work on the computer, they have a teacher, classroom, you know, by video, but they don't come in. You can still apply for that, but you're not guaranteed a slot. You'll go on the wait list. So over the weekend, after hearing about the masks, I threw my hand in the air and filled out two more applications. I can't do that to my kids. That is, I mean, have you shopped in a mask? I have shopped in a mask a couple times now. And I bought the kind that motorcyclists wear. And they're meant to be breathed through. The idea is you put it on your face and it keeps the dust out. And it even says right there on Amazon, it doesn't keep anything but the dust out. It's designed to be breathed through. So it's no good for COVID, but I appear to be in costume when I'm out, which is important. They're called balaclavas. By the way, anytime you see somebody wearing them, they're absolutely useless. Unless you just want to block dust. But I wear that so I can breathe, and I am miserable when I shop. And so I can't imagine wearing an actual mask all day. I don't think he can do it. He's just super sensitive to anything on his skin. Can't stand tags or socks or anything. I don't see how kids can do it. And you know what's going to be so bad? We're going to have the worst cold and flu season ever because the kids will touch their face all day long because they have the masks on. I know how kids are. They'll swap spit and then touch their face. Oh, everybody's going to be sick. It's going to be a nightmare. Whew. All day long? I changed my mind. Let's not go back to school. I give up.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.